Our epistle for this Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary is taken from the book of Malachias, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Thus says the Lord, Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And presently there shall come to his temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Behold, he comes, says the Lord of hosts. But who shall endure the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's lye. And he shall sit refining and purifying the silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and shall refine them as gold and silver. And they shall offer sacrifices to the Lord in justice. Then the sacrifices of Judah and Jerusalem shall please the Lord, as in the days of old, and in ancient years, says the Lord Almighty. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 22-32. At that time, when the days of purification of Mary were fulfilled according to the law of Moses, they took Jesus up to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was in Jerusalem a man named Simeon, and this man was just and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came by inspiration of the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also received him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace. Because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory to thy people. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, on this Feast of the Purification, this morning at the first Mass, we blessed candles and had a procession. This day is also known as Candlemas Day. Little Christmas. Candlemas means the Mass of Candles. As you know, candles are a unique sacramental the Church uses in her ceremonies and her liturgies. Now, perhaps in times of old, this was to help dispel the darkness and help perform the sacred rites, but we have electricity now, but the symbolism is still as strong as it was when they first came out with candles. When a person is baptized, after the baptism takes place, after the consecration of the person, the Holy Chrism, they're handed a candle, and that candle's lighted. And they are told of the representation of that candle, what it means to an extent. The candle represents you and me. The wax, the body, frail. Oh, perhaps it has a strength of its own to a certain extent, but it's frail. For our concerns of time and exterior energy, heat and cold affects it. It can easily scratch and be disfigured. The wick is what makes it a candle, just like the soul of man makes him alive. But you can gather all the candles you want in the world, and they're useless. Unless they have a flame, that lights those candles. That flame represents sanctifying grace, the light of God in our soul, the life of God in our soul. Remember when our Lord was talking about, he was explaining the kingdom of heaven, and he talks about the virgins, the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. And the wise virgins keeps their lamps trimmed. And the foolish virgins, they don't care. They run out of oil so quickly. And then the time comes for the bridegroom, and the foolish virgins aren't ready. The wise are. In the lesson, our Lord says to us at the end of that parable, watch therefore, you know not the day nor the hour. Sanctifying grace in the soul of man has to be protected. People go to confession, go to communion, but they don't protect sanctifying grace. They don't necessarily do away with all unnecessary occasions of sin. They let themselves be affected by the winds that blow out and about them that would extinguish that flame. Unnecessary occasions of sin, distractions, worldliness. It doesn't matter what else we do. That flame needs to be kept. And the individual, and only the individual, can keep the flame lit for him or herself. A priest can't do it for you. A parent can't do it for you. God himself won't force his life upon you or his love upon you. It must be kept. It must be perfected. Because if we go into eternity without the flame of sanctifying grace lit in us, alive within us, and we go to the gate, open to us, O Lord, aperi domine. He's going to say, I don't know you. Just like he said to the foolish virgins who didn't keep their lamps trimmed. No, we see our true purpose. Life is fragile, absolutely. This life, eternal life, is forever. And there's only one ticket to get to eternal life, and that is sanctifying grace, the life of God in our souls. Let us therefore cherish it, protect it, perfect it within us. Now, it comes to a point in time where we have to recognize, like, wow, but look how easily I'm turned or how weak I am. It's okay. Christ has taken all these things into consideration. Like it says in that Christmas song, he knows our needs to our weakness. He is no stranger. He gives us confession so we can get back up. If we want to get back up. If we want to abide in God's love. He gives us a way. He perfects, strengthens us with himself and his strength when we receive him in Holy Communion. And then he gives to us his mother. The same portal that he used to come down and become one of us. He says to us now, behold your mother. To Jesus through Mary. That's what true devotion is. We call upon her to pray for us now and at the hour of our death. We don't let these words just run off our lips, Hail Marys that we have memorized. No. We let them come from our hearts as petitions to our Blessed Mother. As a child petitions his mother, we petition our Heavenly Mother. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. On this feast of the purification, my dear friends in Christ, let us consider the opportunity that we have to partake in the life of God and to have the life of God one within us. Remembering that Christ did not come to be born in a stable and to live as a person alone. No, he came to give us life and so that we might abide one with him in time and from time to eternity. Let us consider how we cherish and protect that light in our soul. And perhaps we might look to see to do it better and also consider that the best way for us to make sure that we realize our purpose to be in our true home in heaven with our Heavenly Father is to be led by our mother. And let us check our devotion to her today, calling upon her, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.